Well, it's a good start when I finally remember to press record. Then it's a good start.
Oh, Phoenix!
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's Patrick O'Dowd.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Brandon Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome.
Bitch.
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 It is a Tuesday. It's Tuesday, September 24th, 2024. Just for the purposes of historical record keeping, Patrick O'Dowd, Greg DeMarco Show. Patrick O'Dowd, WWE shocked everybody last night on Raw. As, you know, lots of criticism around Triple H and his oh-so-predictable booking. And then he decides to not be predictable. And he puts the Intercontinental Championship on Jey Uso, ending Braun Breaker's reign as Intercontinental Champion. And Patrick O'Dowd, of course, thanks to the internet wrestling community, that means Braun Breaker is cooked. He's done.
Career's over.
Career's over. Retire now.
You went right to it today, by the way.
I just jumped
or dove right in.
Right to it. I want to save the other thing I want to talk about for the second segment. That's all.
Well, you know, what was particularly funny for me when, you know, the internet did its natural meltdown,
mm-hmm,
is that I actually saw, I can't remember who retweeted it or shared it, but they wrote a link, like a multi-paragraph letter.
A letter?
To, like, but in social media, right? Like, they did it in,
yeah,
text, Twitter, or Facebook, or whatever. But it was a multi-paragraph letter to Triple H, waxing poetic on the injustice done to poor Braun Breaker by losing. Because the internet wrestling community, I don't know how to tell you this any other way, because we've said it several times. There are other ways to book a guy besides win all the time, every time. Like, there are more ways to do it. And not every guy that gets, like, not every guy needs to be booked like a monster to be considered being booked strong or dominant over everybody. Like, you clearly believe that Jey Uso had to lose. Like, this is emblematic of everything that's wrong with wrestling, the internet wrestling community, is the number of people who, one, think they know how to, you know, tell a wrestling story better than the people telling wrestling stories, no matter how long they've been. Your fandom clearly shows you understand. But you only understand one way of booking. So that seems like a problem. And even when the WWE does something that you say you want, you know, it's the old adage of I want this, well, not like that, or like that, or like you want this one very narrow defined version of who or what should be booked, how and why they are booked. And it's dumb, it's hilarious, it's kind of sad, really. And to the soul that wrote the Twitter or Facebook letter to Triple H that no one's going to read because you sent it to the old WWE Titan Tower location in Stamford. So maybe you were a parody. I don't know. But it got tweeted enough that people didn't see it as a parody if it was. And that's all you need to know. Like, stop it.
So the whole thing about Braun, like, it's just silly.
Real quick, you never thought he should have won the damn title in the first place.
No, I did not. No, I did not think he should have won the damn title in the first place. I thought it was too soon. And that's why I'm trying to figure out the direction to go here without just saying so much so fast that there's nothing left for us to talk about. But I'm just going to say it. Like, Braun Breaker was just the transitional champion. Like, that's what he was, because they didn't want to have, they wanted to do the moment with Sammy at WrestleMania beating Gunther, because that's Sammy's WrestleMania moment. Now, could Sammy win the Royal Rumble and challenge Gunther at WrestleMania 41? Absolutely he could. Because honestly, outside of Jey Uso, who else are they really building up for that spot on Raw? Maybe CM Punk, right? You could see CM Punk winning the Rumble and challenging Gunther at WrestleMania 41. It sounds crazy, but that's the conversations that we need to start having, because that's what Triple H does. He just books to the milestones. He just books to the big things, which is why you can criticize, you can do whatever, right? It's you know, CM Punk is the made guy, but CM Punk can do anything at WrestleMania and people will be satisfied. With Sami Zayn, you can try to build up another, you know, Daniel Bryan Danielson or Kofi Mania at WrestleMania 41 if you want to. Especially in Vegas, especially with people paying, you know, $1,000+ a ticket probably.
Jesus
so
Christ.
It's going to be stupid.
When we bought WrestleMania tickets, it was
like $140. It was like $140 right. Total. It's just
back in our day.
Right? 2010. But it's so they're building from milestone to milestone. And there's two separate things right here. Number one, I love that Jey Uso is Intercontinental Champion. I do. I think there's so much money in Jey Uso. He probably should be the one to win the Royal Rumble and challenge Gunther, and maybe still could be. There's still plenty of time before we get there, right? There's a lot that could happen. I'm not going to criticize the booking. And again, I call it like I see it, AEW, WWE, whoever. I'm not going to criticize the booking of putting the Intercontinental Championship on Jey Uso, because I think it's a good decision. I think what should be criticized is ever putting the Intercontinental Championship on Braun Breaker. Now, maybe it was a test run. Maybe it was just to show how good Braun Breaker is. Now there's rumors that this is going to be used to turn Braun Breaker into a big-time babyface. So maybe Braun's going to win the Rumble and challenge going through at WrestleMania. Who knows, right? I don't know. If so, the path is certainly there, and I have no problem. My thing is WrestleMania and babyface push for Braun notwithstanding, if you were always going to go from Sami Zayn to Jey Uso, A, you could have told that story, and it would have been fine, but I get why you don't want to do it, and I'm fine with it that way too. Or B, if you're really truly just going to have somebody hold her for a few months, there are people who could have benefited more from it than Braun Breaker. Like, and the first person that comes to mind, Patrick O'Dowd, is one of your newly crowned favorite wrestlers in Ludwig Kaiser.
Yep.
Ludwig would have been a great person to win the title and eventually lose it to Jey Uso, because it would have actually raised his stock. His stock would have risen through that situation. You'd have him standing in the ring with his gold next to Gunther with his gold. Maybe that's too much, but then you look at the Judgment Day, and obviously it's not too much. Like, there's so many ways to look at that and ways to turn it. For me, I think Ludwig Kaiser could have benefited greatly from it. Bronson Reed could have benefited greatly from it, but Bronson Reed's got his thing with Braun Strowman right now. Kind of the same thing Braun Breaker was doing, if you think about it, and because they're just wrecking everything everywhere, and next week they have their last monster standing match on Raw, which I hope is the main event of Raw. I hope they put those guys in that position next week, because it's one of their most well-built feuds, their most well-built TV feuds right now, and it seems like we're headed towards a finish. So that's what I would do. But again, I'm not the one booking WWE. But
you're booking other programs.
Right, yes. I don't know if you guys know this, but Greg's a wrestling promoter. So to me, I think there are a lot of things you could do to really build up somebody with that Intercontinental title win and that short-term ring. But that's independent of my Braun Breaker opinion and of my Jey Uso opinion, right? There's three different opinions involved here, and I think you really have to keep them separate. Jey Uso, definitely the right call. Pushing Braun Breaker, definitely the right call. Giving the Intercontinental Championship to somebody else for a transitional ring to raise their stock in WWE long term, also the right call, and all three could have been done. You could have put the Intercontinental Championship on Bronson Reed and done with Braun Breaker what you're doing with Bronson Reed right now. And that would have worked out just fine, too. So there's just so many ways that, you know, more than one way to skin a cat, right? That's what we have to say. But there's no way that Braun Breaker's cooked. Like, that's just silly. That's just absurd. The dude is the future of this company. Maybe sooner rather than later. Who the hell knows? But because when they turned him heel on NXT, it worked. And it worked so well that the fans started cheering for him and Baron Corbin as a tag team. And then they became babyfaces. And then Braun shows up on the main roster. And poof, he's a heel again. And he's excelled at both. So Braun is just, he's just born with it. Like, that's just, you know, there's no other way to say it. He's just born with it. And I almost, and I hesitate saying this because I know how people freak out over things, I almost think Braun's already Teflon. He's just that damn good and that damn over.
Yeah. This is where when you take a rational step back and just look at how the guy's being treated and booked in the macro and not the micro, you can see right. Very, very clearly that it's not going to kill him. Like, it's just not.
Right. No, like, no. It's silly. It's just, it's like when people said that Jey Uso was losing too much and that was going to kill him. Like, no. People said that Cody was done when he lost at WrestleMania 39 to Roman Reigns. Like, oh, he's the second best guy in the company behind Roman Reigns. And unfortunately for Cody, it's always going to be that way. Just watch the segment from SmackDown last week and that they replayed on Raw in its entirety. Right. Like, Roman truly is on another level and he's put himself there. And Cody, I think, knows it, but Cody's doing just fine. So it doesn't matter. Cody's apparently the top five of all athletes on Fanatics in terms of sales, far and away above any other wrestler. Like, Cody's doing great. And you know, what time frame is that on Fanatics? What, who knows? But still. And how much merch does he have on Fanatic? I don't know, right? Does buying a custom championship with his name on it count? Yeah, I don't know. But still, it's impressive. But Cody is just fine. But with Braun Breaker, I guess here's my only concern that I have with Braun Breaker, Patrick O'Dowd. And if I gave you enough guesses, you would guess it. Because now, after just talking through this live on the air without having thought about these things before, I kind of think he's going to win the Royal Rumble.
Oh, here's the Greg DeMarco bold prediction.
I kind of think he's going to win the Royal Rumble. But here's the problem with that. I think by the time we get to the Royal Rumble, everyone's going to fucking know it. Like the Royal Rumble, like everyone knew Bayley was going to win that shit. They did. You know, and for all we know, CM Punk was going to win that Royal Rumble had he not gotten hurt during the Royal Rumble. And everybody knew CM Punk was going to win the Royal Rumble. Like, it's just so predictable sometimes. And I don't mind predictable, but to me, as predictable as everything has been, this would be a great time for a shocking Royal Rumble win. Now, maybe Braun's in the final two with, say, a Sami Zayn or a Jey Uso. And Sami Zayn or Jey Uso wins it, and Braun's not the winner of the Royal Rumble. Who knows? But now that we've talked about it out loud, I've convinced myself that Braun Breaker is going to win the 2025 Men's Royal Rumble match. I talked myself. Okay. I've worked myself into a shoot, look, brother.
You have, much like Rikishi.
Yes, yes. So, okay. I'm somewhat concerned.
See how I did that for you?
You did a great job. I'm somewhat concerned bringing up this topic as we both put our hands behind our heads at the same exact time.
I'm doing it because I'm proud. You're doing it because you're concerned. I'm doing the like.
Different. Yeah. So I'm concerned because I cannot find the news report that I'm referring to from when I texted you earlier today. So what I'm about to say might be complete and utter bullshit, okay? I might be a bullshit spewing bitch.
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 You just made the list.
I don't know. I might be a bullshit spewing bitch, but I'm going to say it anyway. I saw a report online that Rikishi said they didn't make Jey Uso's Intercontinental Championship win a big enough deal. That it wasn't, you know, that yes, he's glad he won it, but that they should have made a bigger deal out of it. Now, for me, that screams of so many of the internet fans saying, save that for the pay-per-view, right? Save it for the pay-per-view. When I keep trying to remind people, TV brings in more money than anything for this company. TV is the number one revenue driver. They're going to do big shit on TV. I'm surprised they haven't done a world title switch on TV this year. Like, you just think that something like that would happen at some point, and maybe they're saving something like that for Netflix. Who knows? Because while you could have saved something big for SmackDown moving to USA, and they had Roman Reigns return and the cage match with Cody and Solo, going to Netflix is a whole different thing because they've been on USA. They've got like a 40-year relationship with USA. Netflix is brand spanking new, and you know they're going to want to do that up big time when they go. You just know. So if what I'm saying about Rikishi is right, where Rikishi complained that it wasn't a big enough deal, then it don't matter what they do with Jey Uso. Rikishi's never going to like it. They could crown Jey Uso king, not king of the ring, but a literal king, have him carried to the ring on one of those thrones like they used to do with Savage and whoever, and Rikishi would complain that the guy on the back left wasn't holding the throne up high enough. Like, Rikishi will complain about everything. Rikishi is just... And now there are so many hilarious tweets about Rikishi complaining about things that it's just phenomenal. Everybody thinks the next complaint's going to be that they put Hikuleo Leo in NXT when he should have gone straight to the main roster. He did complain that they were pushing Jacob Fatu too fast. So that's fun.
Yeah, I saw that pop up. I'm sitting, while you've been doing this, I've been
trying to find the article for me. I appreciate that. And you can't find it, can you? It's been wiped. It's been wiped clean from the internet. Like, it's not there. Jacob Fatu thing is hilarious. I don't know if it was a tweet or if he said it because he podcasts. I don't know. Jacob Fatu is phenomenal. Solo is one of Rikishi's sons. So if Rikishi is saying that, because then there were other tweets that were like, what about Solo? Where's his world title win now? I don't know if that's true or not. I just don't know. But it would benefit Rikishi for Jacob Fatu to not get pushed so fast because he's outshining Solo Sikoa already and doing so in a role that's supposed to be presented as inferior to Solo. But Jacob Fatu just is that dude. And there's no way around it. There's just no way of getting beyond it. Like, he is, as Cody Rhodes would like to put it, he is undeniable. And Solo just isn't the lead character for me. Right. And all the Gen Zers love to talk about being the main character. Solo to me is not the main character. I was shocked that Solo got the main event SummerSlam, but it is what it is. And I don't dislike Solo. I just think you got to put people in their right spot, and that's just not the spot for Solo. And if The Rock were to come back, I mean, if you're getting outshined by Jacob Fatu, imagine what's going to happen when this whole thing that Solo's doing is revealed to be orchestrated by The Rock. Then,
well, because he did it for The Rock.
He learned it from his dad. Again, his dad did it from The Rock. He
did it for The Rock.
Which, your comment there, actually, go ahead, because I'm going to change the topic. I'm going to swerve just a little bit.
That's right. So I could not find the second tweet. I definitely found the Jacob Fatu thing getting pushed too fast.
I imagine this is not real.
The Rhea Ripley angle a couple months ago or whatever it was. So yeah.
Oh yeah, I imagined it. It was not real. It's all in my head. It's all in my head.
Hey, but that's all you need to do to start a good wrestling
rumor. I know, right? Greg starting wrestling rumors. So let me ask you this about Rikishi then. I feel so bad. Like, I like Rikishi. I'm close with people who know and are friends with Rikishi. So maybe I should shut up, but I'm not going to.
You know The Undertaker?
No. Yeah, Mark and I go way back. I would never dare refer to The Undertaker by his name. Like, I would not. Supposedly, according to Bruce Prichard,
all the hell you've given me with my Phil right? Boxing in uh-huh. years to have the balls to drop that shoot name.
Right. I mean, but it's more like if I met him, I would not be like, hello, Mark, it's nice to meet you. I'd be like, apparently Mr. Taker is a very common thing to call him. Like, that sounds funny, but that's actually real. So anyway, Rikishi, for all he did, his biggest storyline ever was the one you referred to earlier. I did it for The Rock. Then he was completely jobbed out to The Rock and to Austin. And even The Rock made him look stupid in doing the whole thing. So I ask you this question, Patrick O'Dowd. Because Rikishi reached great heights in his career, and he is a Hall of Famer, he was never a world champion. Is he living vicariously through his children?
Oh, totally. We all do it too, though. So, I think it's not necessarily an indictment.
No.
I do, and really look at in the grand scheme. And this just tells me we're in a slow news period right now in wrestling.
But we're really not. Well, maybe we are.
We kind of are. If we're talking, we've spent how long now talking about Rikishi's possible, maybe not actual comments.
21 minutes.
His son's booking. But it's, I look at it through the lens of, a parent myself. And like, how many parents do you know out there? May not necessarily be you, but how many parents do you know out there that when their son or daughter is in a sporting event, and it's like, well, my kid should start. Well, like, that's all this is, in my opinion, is he thinks his kid should start, and that he's better than some of these. And it's, back your kid on some level. At the same time, it's stupid. It's a phony world, and to pretend like Jay hasn't been a prominent feature within the WWE for the last 3 years.
Oh, nuts.
Like your kid has been a starter. He's just not an All-American.
Jay was the original right-hand man. Like he was
right.
Roman was the quarterback. Jay was like the starting wide receiver, the running back, who knows what, right? Jay is a Hall of Famer and is now building, and was now building up his singles career. Like, Jay has main evented 3 pay-per-views against Roman Reigns in his career. Yeah, like,
yeet indeed.
He did 2 during the COVID era, and then 1 was SummerSlam. So in a football stadium. Like, Jay main evented in a football stadium as a singles competitor, just a few months after doing so as a tag team competitor at WrestleMania. So in the same year, Jey Uso main evented WrestleMania and SummerSlam. He's doing just fine. And he's probably on a contract that's paying him. We never hear about Jey Uso's contract, right? We never hear about anything like that.
It's never in doubt.
In WWE. We don't hear about Jey Uso's contract or anybody else's. Probably over $1 million, if not $2 million. Who knows, right? Who knows? But with Rikishi, you're right, though. Like, my son being in college, like, I love his experience, and I love thinking about it and want it to be as amazing as possible. I had an amazing college experience, and I want his to be even better. So I get that. I
feel like I was talking to your kid this past Friday.
Because I've gone all in on Nebraska football, and although I don't think I talked to him later that night, and I was definitely not as crushed by the loss as he was, that's for sure. But he was in the stadium, so
yes,
it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different. But they got a bounce back game against Purdue this weekend. But this week's show is not a college football program. I promise you that. So Jey Uso good, Bron Breakker good, Rikishi fine. Like, that's kind of where I am. And you heard it here first, kids. Bron Breakker is going to win the 2025 Royal Rumble match. Although it probably should be Sami Zayn or Jey Uso. But I just want a surprise Royal Rumble winner. That's all. I just want a surprise. You know, I thought Drew McIntyre winning Money in the Bank and cashing in that night, even though I completely predicted it would happen that way, I still thought it was the right call. Tiffany Stratton, everybody knew she was going to win. But they have done a few things that are surprises, and I think that includes Jey Uso winning the Intercontinental Championship. And who knows what happens next? For all we know, Braun Breaker's going to win that thing back soon. I don't know, right? Maybe his story will be that, or maybe something else is going to happen, and they're going to get to Braun Breaker versus Brock Lesnar. I don't know. Like, there's just so many possibilities that WWE might have. So, but we are going to go to commercial. We're going to come back, and we're going to completely shift gears and talk about a completely different wrestling company.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
That is, of course, this week's old school wrestling theme of the week. Not quite as old school as we would normally go, but quite appropriate, as the Hurricane is the theme song for the week. Because this weekend, right, this weekend, Patrick O'Dowd and family are making the journey to beautiful Orlando, Florida, visiting the World of Disney. And there's like a hurricane watch or something like that going on. So,
well, it's I have never in my life followed and learned as much as I have in the last 24 hours about hurricane tracking.
Right.
And I got to shout out this guy, Dennis Phillips, who is like a local weather guy in Florida, who his Facebook page, the background behind it, like, you know how you've got your little picture and then you've got the banner picture?
The cover picture.
The cover picture is rule number 7, don't freak out, with a big hurricane in the background. There's a picture of him standing next to this sign wearing a button that says rule number 7, stop freaking out. And he has actually been the best thing that I've followed, because he's given the most, like, he gives these really in-depth projections. And, like, literally while we were at commercial, I jumped on Facebook to see his latest update because he dropped it 9 minutes ago. And there is a silver lining here, Greg. As they have, as the day has progressed, they've gotten more certain about the path of this storm.
Right.
And it's looking more like it's going to make landfall in the, what they say, the Big Bend / Panhandle area Florida, which is not nearly as close to Orlando.
No, you're like, fuck Tallahassee now, is what you're saying.
So what they're projecting, because we fly out Thursday morning,
right?
And we'd get there Thursday. We would get to Florida on Thursday morning. They are seeing winds gusting 50 to 70 miles per hour in the afternoon, much less inland, which is good, and that they will have, like, their storm surge warning is going to be Thursday evening along the coast. There might be some power outages, but, like, the landfall is in the Big Bend late Thursday evening as a major hurricane. And then it will, for the tropical storm force winds will continue all the way through Atlanta. And so, and he's saying by Friday, it will all be over for Florida. So I'm more optimistic than I was 12 hours ago when we were first following the possibility of tracking this storm, we were talking about it. So I'm feeling a little bit better. Not out of the woods necessarily.
No, not out of the woods.
But feeling better.
I think if anything, your travel day might be hell.
Well,
but that's it.
Here's the thing is I think we have the advantage of going earlier rather than later.
Yeah.
Because, like, leaving earlier before it's even getting to the area seems like would be the more beneficial thing. Like, we looked at flights for tomorrow.
Okay.
And there wasn't anything available, so.
No, I think you'll get through the travel day, and then you'll be just fine, so. Right. That works.
Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
However, before he makes his journey to the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida, where he will not be seeing NXT because there is no NXT to be seen this weekend. As they're getting ready for Chicago next Tuesday and their debut on the CW. Patrick O'Dowd made another journey this past weekend. Journey into the Abyss, better known as All Elite Wrestling. Patrick O'Dowd went to the Springfield, Massachusetts, right? Springfield, Massachusetts, where it was.
Yep.
Taping or live broadcast of AEW Collision, where they also taped next Friday's Rampage and some Ring of Honor as well. Patrick O'Dowd, this was your first AEW live experience, probably definitely more AEW than you have ever consumed in one sitting, or maybe even 1 month at a time. So here we are. Tell us what your experience was like absorbing, consuming the wrestling that is All Elite.
Well, first, shout out to my buddy Matt, who went with me.
Who cares? We want to know about your experience. No, I'm just kidding.
Hold on.
He's just kidding.
Part of that experience because he went as a, quote, filthy casual. And
filthy casual.
And let me just say, as he enjoyed his six old fashions over the course of the evening between dinner and at the arena and was thoroughly enjoying himself by the time we got to the meat of the show, He was having the time of his life, and he was helpful because I was able to talk to him about people I did recognize or didn't recognize throughout the program. And so that was great and a lot of fun to have. Overall, I had a good time.
Yeah.
It's
live wrestling.
Yeah. You know, it's live wrestling. It was a good show. It went. So I was able to walk Matt through what the format would be like, because obviously he had the live show. So he had commercial breaks and all that. But then once the live show was over, he was like, oh, and so now they're going to do this Rampage show. And I was like, yes. And you will see zero promos. Like, you're not going to see anything on screens or anything. It's just going to be match after match after match. And
especially since that's going to air after Dynamite. So, yeah.
Right. And I was like, and that's also the thing is that there's this big Dynamite coming up. They don't want to spoil anything. Like, they don't want anybody knowing results. And so we're not going to see anything of consequence other than two names for a main event, which, spoiler alert, I've already forgotten who those two people were. Yeah,
Willow was one, right?
Was it Willow? Was it the Willow Nightingale and Taya Valkyrie match? Was that the main event?
I know you told me that people started leaving after Willow won. I don't know
who she wrestled. Willow Nightingale faced off against Taya Valkyrie and won. And in what I think was actually the saddest moment of the evening for me, we get to the ROH tapings. And this is the other thing is, bless his heart, Tony Khan tries really hard to get you to stay. Like,
of course he
basically
does.
Begging you to stay. And he comes out in between each tape. So we had an ROH dark match involving Abaddon and a local talent. She crushes the local talent.
Was that really an ROH dark match since it was on right before it was, or was it just a dark match?
Maybe it was just a dark match. I don't know.
Did they have the ROH stuff up on the stage?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it was recorded for ROH.
They had it all. Who knows? They had it set up with the apron and the board stuff, which was weird because they have that match like starting at about 7:40.
Right.
That match wraps up, and then they come down and they start hyping the crowd. Everybody's real excited. Collision goes off without a hitch, and you know everything happens. Crowd looks, you know, in the area that they wanted to film, they've got most of those seats filled on the camera side. Not a big arena, a few thousand people tops, but they were there and they were small but mighty, and they had a good time. So Tony Khan comes out before Collision. He comes out after Collision. He's like, okay, we're going to stay. We're going to film next week's Rampage. You're going to be in the future for Rampage.
Did he really say that?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, God. Okay.
He's a nerd. He's a big nerd, dude.
Welcome to next Friday. No, I know.
I'm like, you're just a big nerd. So he does that. Rampage starts. And a few people have left after Collision. But there's still people there. It still doesn't look...
That's not the mass exodus.
No. Willow Nightingale wrestles Ty Willow over like fucking Rover.
Willow's a star for our AEW, man. Big time.
Yeah. And so she comes in, she goes over Taya to tie into her storyline with, I don't even know who she's working against right now. Cause again, I sort of paid.
I know she had the big match with Chris Statlander at All Out or All In, All Out.
Yeah.
Cause that was the thumbtacks to the dick episode.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But anyway, so that ends, and Tony Khan comes back out, and he's like, okay, we got some great ROH, this is where you see the future of blah, 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 and then you proceed to watch, like, squash match after squash match until the main event, which involved a tiny, like, 6 foot, or not 6 foot, 5 foot nothing, like, 160-pound dude in a mask that I can't remember his name.
Hologram?
What?
Hologram?
Hologram was with a, it was in a six-man tag.
Oh, Gravity?
On Rampage. What?
Gravity?
Might have been Gravity.
Those are the only two I can think of. Or Commander. I think he's hurt. I don't know.
Commander. No, it was Commander.
It was Commander. Okay.
Because Commander wrestled some guy. And seriously, this was what's right at. Some guy named Johnny TV. And I'm like.
Isn't that John Hennigan? Isn't that Johnny Nitro?
No, stop it. Stop it. So I'm sitting there like, who the fuck is Johnny TV? And he came out and he like, you know, he looked great. Like he had a cool robe and shit. And I'm like, he must be somebody. And I don't remember when it finally happened where I was like, oh, it's John Morrison. How sad is this for John Morrison? Because I was like, this is a guy who's worked WrestleMania and now is main eventing Ring of Honor, where he did the job for Commander, to less than 1,000 people in Springfield, Massachusetts. And as I was looking at my buddy Matt at the end of the show, I was like, dude, here's the thing. You got to give credit to these three guys that are in the middle of the ring right now, the two wrestlers and the referee, because other than Tony Khan, they're the only talent left in the building. And he was like, really? And I was like, yeah, ain't nobody here for this. They have long since gone. They were at the after party at the MGM casino in downtown Springfield, which we walked by, did not go into on our way out because we parked in the MGM casino because it was free. I love the Outrunners. Just to kind of get back to some of the other stuff, like during the Collision taping, there was this big 10-man tag, and it was FTR, the Outrunners, and I can't remember who the fifth person was on their team. And then the Grizzled Young Vets were on the other side,
right?
With
Roddy Strong,
with Roderick Strong,
Mortis,
and apparently
Morto, the Beast Mortos, or whatever his name is.
You mean Mantar Part 2?
Yes.
Like, it's Mantar with a better...
Just way better, yeah. Like,
no, I don't care. Like, I don't care. Like,
I get that.
I was like, oh, is this a Triple A show? Are we in Mexico right
now? That's where
now?
He's from. That's where he's from.
Where
he was Black Taurus, but he couldn't use the name.
Because the mask. But, you know, the 10-man tag was okay. They opened the show with the bunkhouse brawl, which was really just an anything goes match with tables and ladders and chairs set up all around the ring. Everybody bled like a stuck pig. Crowd gave a nice response to our good friend Mike Bennett, deservedly so, because he's a local guy-ish, local-ish. And that match, you know, that match was what the crowd was hottest for. It felt like they booked it in reverse order. That should have been the main event. I understand it why it wasn't the main event, because they had to immediately clean off the ring and get everything ready to go, and, you know, spray it down and all that fun stuff. But
did they change the canvas?
Yeah, they did. They changed everything.
You would think that would have been the main event, because then they could have changed all that in between the tapings. But whatever. Right.
But I will say this, it was a 4-hour slog towards the end, man.
Like, oh, yeah.
We stayed and got our money's worth. We had good seats. Like, I think you saw the vantage point that we were sitting from. And
yeah, you had great seats.
Nine times out of 10 every time. And like I said, I thoroughly enjoyed the opening match. I thoroughly enjoyed the main event. We got a Nigel McGuinness promo leading into Wednesday. That was nice. Because
you didn't have any of the other main eventers there. Like, you didn't have Daniel Bryan Danielson, John Moxley, none of them.
We got Darby Allin.
Right. He was part of the 10-man tag, wasn't he?
No, was he part of the 10-man tag?
Maybe he just made an appearance. I don't know. I didn't watch
it. No, he did he wrestle?
I don't know.
I don't know. And that's the thing is, I enjoyed myself, but it was utterly forgettable.
Right. It was just, like, it's like going to an action movie. You know, you saw it, you're good, then you left. Like,
right.
Yeah. Like.
And so, yeah, I'm actually, like, scrolling to see.
It's kind of weird as you scroll to see. Oh, and I found the Rampage.
Darby Allin wrestled results. Evil Uno. That's what it was. Allin wrestled Evil Uno, and I got to see Mariah May, she's pretty.
She is, yes.
And she wrestled Lady Frost because they love jobbing Lady Frost out.
Well, that's what she's there for. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
next year is going to be her year. She says it on social media every time she loses.
Next year is going to be my year. I'm the Dallas Cowboys. I don't even know if she's Dallas Cowboys, but I looked at the results. So I saw the results of Rampage and I saw what you got. You got, you know, Konosuke to Takeshita. That's always good. Dude's phenomenal.
To see him.
And Helico can sell his ass off, so that's good. And you got the House of Black. They're always fun. So I'm a big Malakai Black fan, although, you know, I wish he was still where he used to be. But it is a weird setup for a Saturday night event that they didn't start till 7:40, 7:50. Like, you would have thought they would have started with ROH.
They started late. That's the thing, is they were supposed to start at 7:30. They started like 7:40.
Yeah, because they only had one.
Yeah, like you said.
Like, I would. It's weird because they come here in February, and so Rampage starts, or Dynamite starts at 6 p.m. local time, and they start at 5, and they tape ROH first. And so in Phoenix, they start at 5 p.m., but in Massachusetts, they start at 8 p.m., basically. Like, that's weird. Like, they should have taped an hour of ROH in the beginning,
shifted. What I said. I actually said that on, I think, Bandwagon Nerds this week, because I was like, you know, if you start, I was like, start the show earlier, ROH in front of the crowd coming in, instead of giving the crowd an excuse to leave. By the way, Hook was the final member of that 10-man tag that I could not remember.
Yes.
With FTR and the Outrunners, affectionately known as FT Runners.
FT Runners, because we got to do that with everybody.
Right. Because, yeah, you have the audience walking in, and, you know, people are like, oh, that's nice, there's action going on. You know, they settle in, they watch. And the crowd gets bigger as you get towards the end of the show. And you also probably get a little bit more love for keeping Johnny TV in a losing effort by coming in as kind of the last warm-up.
Yeah, just a weird order of operations.
I was like, oh, hey, I remember you, Wynn.
Yeah, it's just a weird order of operations for
their
taping. Especially, again, when in Phoenix they literally start at 5 p.m. And the arena has to fill up during the first hour. It's like, start that at 6, because that's when you go live for Dynamite, and back end it with ROH or whatever. But yeah, and again, it's not my company. But it just seems weird. I feel I agree with you. If they taped ROH at 7, ROH would have had a much better crowd. And then you're ending at 11 after the Rampage taping is over. And that's a little more reasonable. And you get more people to your after party. So, again, a win is a win is a win. So, that is exciting. But you went. And that's the biggest thing about it, is you went.
I did.
You saw the live wrestling. And that's what's most important to me.
Yeah, and it's been years, literally years, since I've been to a live wrestling show. I'm trying to remember.
Did you not hit any of the local indies last year?
No, I haven't been to a local indie in a long time. It's I don't know. Like, I don't know. The pandemic really kept me from going. Like, I went to a couple shows after the pandemic were over, and that was fine. Here, I don't really particularly enjoy going to wrestling shows alone. And
I get that.
And so it's having somebody to go with. Like, I'm very much excited that I will have gotten more pro wrestling in these next 2 months live than I have in like 3 years. And that's going to an AEW show and the IZW show that I will be attending in November. Like,
but you won't be attending the IZW show. Like, I will probably put you to work in some fashion.
Which is not how one spends a vacation, but yet
it is when you visit me. It is when you visit me. But I mean, you'll have free reign over the building. Like, you'll have quote unquote run of the house. You'll be able to do whatever. So it'll be fun. You're gonna see these people that you've never met, like Miranda Morales, like Heather Lynn. Like, you're gonna get, you know, maybe say hi to Nick Nemeth. Like, who knows? Like, you're gonna get to meet lots of cool, fun people while you're there as well. And get to kind of stand wherever and watch the event. I do stress the word stand. I don't really sit during these things. So I do sit on occasion, plop down next to somebody, have a quick conversation and get up and go. But it's weird because you're also going to see, and I just now thought of this, and this is very self-serving, but whatever. You saw Greg the Promoter in 2016.
Right.
Doing his second ever event that he promoted. Now you're going to see Greg the Promoter in 2024 with a lot more experience under his belt. And while Greg the Promoter in 2016 knew in his own mind what he was doing, Greg the Promoter in 2024, a little better at this than he was in 2016. So it's going to be it'll probably be fun for you to see that, just because you get to compare and contrast what I was like back then. Or what it was like for me back then. So
I look forward to checking it out.
Night and day. Night and day. And there's just a lot of, we're lucky in the sense of like when I talk about we're lucky, like our staff, the people that help our IZW, and they're paid staff, but I mean, it's wrestling, so they're not making tons of money off these things. But like, we have great staff. We just have great people that help us. We have really cool people that are doing like video production, and our photographers are awesome. Like, you're going to get to see just some really cool people that have made their way into IZW. I would say nearly all, but no, every single one of them who is getting paid started as a volunteer. Like, that's just the way it works in this business. And so, and they're just really, cause they're just truly fans that are such good fans that they just gravitated towards pitching in, helping out, doing more. Which is how I started. So, I mean, I lied my way in, but it worked out okay in the end. So, claimed I had ring announcing experience and I had none, but I had done enough improv and stand up. Hey, that was my line of thinking and it was wrong. But
yeah,
I survived basically. I was able to survive the bumpy roads to get to some smoother ones. There's still bumps along the way, but it will be very exciting and lots of fun. And you get to come out here, and I get to see you. And so that's obviously the better thing.
Haven't seen each other since Vegas.
I want to try to find some way to record something, even if it's a portion of a program. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Haven't heard if anyone else is coming, like a David Ungar or anyone else. But because it's not exactly a short drive for him. Like, it's not like he's not really in Southern California, so it's not as short of a drive. So,
right.
Yeah, we'll see. But lots of good stuff coming. And just in case you are local and you're listening, that event does take place on Saturday, November 16th, right here at Bullshooters in Phoenix, Arizona. You can go to IZWTix.com. Tickets are selling really well, obviously, because we do have Nick Nemeth, the former Dolph Ziggler, making his in-ring IZW debut, his first wrestling match in the state of Arizona, which is where he lives, since being released from WWE. So we're super excited and lucky about that. In a four-way match against our heavyweight champion, Evan Daniels, the longest reigning champion in IZW history, Thugnificent, and one of the fastest rising stars on the West Coast in the Emperor Bryce Saturn. So, and so much more that is being announced. We got two vacant titles that are being contested on this event, thanks to one, an injury, and two, somebody getting booked in New Japan, and then a whole heck of a lot more that's going to be happening on that event too. So, and that's our last event of the year. So it's going to be monumental, as it always is. And I'm super excited about it. So head on over to IZWTix.com. If you're in a surrounding area, it is worth the drive. I'll tell you that, to come see us. We don't do these every month. We do them four times a year. So we do make them special and we do make them worth it. And we do have people that travel in. Again, we're just lucky. You'll even get to meet some fans, dude, that are just awesome people. Like, I can't stress enough how cool all of that is. So that is what we're looking at for November 16th, IZWTix.com. Let's do one more commercial break. And we already talked about what I was going to talk about during 3-Minute Warnings. I don't know what we're going to talk about, but we'll figure it out.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore. Everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
Acknowledge me.
So I had the entire, 30-some second commercial break and the 3-minute warning to figure out what we're going to do for the 3-minute warning, and I still don't know. I've maxed out my creativity right now on what to do.
Because I still haven't watched it. What do you think of the premiere of SmackDown back on?
Well,
the
2 weeks in now, so
yeah. We haven't really talked about it though.
It's so interesting because it's not that different. It's still SmackDown. The logo absolutely sucks. Like, well, when the logo is stacked one on top of the other, I can't get a D out of that whatsoever. Like, it's SmackSound is what it is. But when they show it vertical or horizontal, and the word Smack is next to the word Down, looks great, actually. The logo looks fantastic. But when it's just stacked like that, and it's this one big giant S, and the S is kind of their calling card, like the S is all over the place with SmackDown. Michael Cole is just a joy to listen to on commentary these days. He truly is. He really is having fun, and he's great with Corey Graves. I didn't notice a difference in the commercial breaks or anything that you would get from going to network TV to cable. It is interesting that SmackDown's going to go to 3 hours next year. So now we're gonna have 6 hours of WWE, 8 when you factor in NXT. So that's kind of crazy, but USA probably wants it. So it is what it is. But I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it just fine. The one thing the one thing that will benefit SmackDown from being a 3-hour show is more talent gets on television. And it'll be interesting come draft time then, because now typically SmackDown has had less draft selections than Raw. Because of the fact that the roster size is different. So it'll be interesting to see what they do from January to draft. Is that where new people that might appear from NXT will go? Will we just see more people that we haven't seen? Like, we have Legado del Fantasma out there, which are 4 extremely talented wrestlers, but you don't get to see them all as much, right? You have a lot of women that don't have an opportunity to get on television for that reason. You know, we don't get to see, you know, Carmelo Hayes and Andrade. We can see them a lot right now because of their program. But outside of that, like, there will be talent that benefits. There's going to be talent that benefits that I don't even remember or on the SmackDown roster right now as I'm running through people that I think will benefit from a 3-hour format from SmackDown. It's also going to be really interesting because supposedly, once we get to January and Raw goes to Netflix, so do Michael Cole and Pat McAfee. So now we still have Joe Tessitore, Wade Barrett, and Corey Graves. What are we doing with them? I don't see a 3-man booth. It just doesn't make sense to me. Maybe it's so odd for Corey Graves to be the odd man out because he's phenomenal. But I don't believe Joe Tessitore was a short-term thing. Like, I believed it was a multi-year contract. I just don't know what they're going to do. Maybe when they go to Netflix, they're going to go that UFC style where you have, like, the booth with the hosts that host the show and kind of talk in between every fight and then the actual commentators at ringside. I've advocated for that before, kind of go that NFL, like Sunday on Fox, where you've got the studio people would put them in the arena. I would love to see that in wrestling. It's something that I've wanted to see for a while as I've campaigned for AEW to go away from the WWE model and try to rip off UFC. I've campaigned for that a little bit where you have that separate host analysis area, which you could maybe have somebody host like a Joe Tessitore or a Michael Cole, or I'm sorry, or a Corey Graves. I'm just going to be really interested to see what they do with that because they have five really talented commentators and I just don't see a 3-man booth working with Graves being that third guy. So I just, I don't know. We'll see. So I'm interested in seeing that, but I'm excited to see it. You know, changes are fresh. It's weird because it wasn't a clean break, right? SmackDown went first, then NXT to CW, then Raw to Netflix. So it's this weird domino effect. So it's gonna be really interesting to talk about this and say, you know, February, right? After the Royal Rumble, which is in February this year. Like, the calendar's all weird now, right? Royal Rumble's first weekend in February. WrestleMania's in late April. And then SummerSlam, we don't know about yet. So we don't know the location for SummerSlam yet. That's weird for 2025. Drama. Like, we know the 2026 SummerSlam location. It's Minneapolis. And we know it's two nights long. Triple H has basically told us it's going to be two nights long in 2026. Could it be Indy? Because Indy signed a deal to have WrestleMania, SummerSlam, and Royal Rumble. We know they're getting the Rumble in January. Might they also get SummerSlam and they're waiting until after the Rumble to announce that? Are they going to London for SummerSlam? Because All In's not in London this year. It's in Texas. So maybe we're going to London for SummerSlam and we just are looking for the right opportunity to announce it. I don't know if we go over there at some point during the year. It's just really weird to me that we don't know where SummerSlam 2025 is yet. Because they got to. Maybe they don't. They're really, you know, cities are bidding on these things now. The situations are just very different. So who the hell knows? So Patrick O'Dowd, it's almost 11 p.m. where you are right now. And so when do you actually leave for Orlando?
The flight is scheduled for 6:30 a.m. Eastern time on Thursday.
Just barely 36 hours away.
How many hours?
36 hours away.
Yes. We're just Just about. I thought you said 6 hours away, and I was about to be like, no, Greg.
So, funny stories we're talking about travel. I haven't even told the wife about this yet. On Monday at work, I got an email confirming my registration for a conference in San Antonio, Texas.
Okay.
On Thursday.
Nice.
As in this coming Thursday, as in the day after you're listening to this podcast, if you're listening to it the day that it drops on Wednesday. And I'm like, I didn't know I was going to San Antonio on Thursday. So I remember my boss telling me I might. And this was like beginning of the year conversation because she wasn't going to be able to go or whatever. So I sent her a message yesterday and things have been so busy. She didn't get a chance to say anything back to me. So this morning I'm finally like, look, is this, are we doing this? And she was like, I was like, cause if I have to, I will. You know, I just need to book travel. And she came back and said, no. Originally, that was going to be the plan, but we're not sending anybody from our department to this conference. There is one in October, but it's here in Phoenix that I'm probably going to be participating in. So there's no flight involved in something like that. So it's on the other side of town, so I might try to stay out there. But Yeah, I almost was like going to have to book travel and leave tomorrow to go to San Antonio, but thankfully not, because we have somebody else in my department out that I'm already having to do some coverage for. So it would have been a bigger challenge. So, yeah.
And it would have been Texas.
I don't mind Texas.
I was going to pick on any location you went to. Like,
that's true.
It doesn't matter.
That is true. And every city you can say something bad about, and every city you can say something good about. But that, we are right at an hour today. So that is going to do it for this week's program. Patrick O'Dowd is off to the world of Disney, off to visit the mouse and his entire family, which will be lots of fun. Travel be damned. I know it'll be great. Listen to all the shows, all the podcasts here at the Chairshot Radio Network. It is, of course, I haven't even played this yet,
thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
It is sports. It is entertainment. It is sports entertainment and so much more. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up one of those t-shirts. Come visit us at IZW on November 16th, IZWTix.com. Going to have lots of fun next week. We'll see what the world of pro wrestling and maybe the wide world of Disney brings us as well. But until next time, always use your head.
Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.